be clear in the decision that you're making and make that decision. Once you have made it, go with it.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
If you love this podcast, please give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot to us. And if you love to make more money by improving your customer or client retention, loyalty, and lifetime value, check out Alex's work at Huckleberry Consulting. He is offering a free 1-hour audit to just a lucky few, just for the first 20 listeners who will reach out. It's super easy. Just go over to consulthuckleberry.com and book an appointment at his calendar. And all you need to do is mention this podcast. So this 1-hour free audit has a value of $500, and you're going to get it for free. If you're one of the first 20 listeners, just book an appointment at his calendar. Go over to consulthuckleberry.com, and all you need to do is just to mention this podcast. Come to that call with your customer success and client success problem, and feel free to pick his brain. That's all you need to do. So I hope you're one of the first 20. Let's go. Hey guys, good morning. This is Carla, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. And today we have my friend April Dawn. She is an accomplished launch strategist, media buyer, traveler, and conflict resolutor who helps her clients create on-demand six and multi-six figure launches. She's helped clients generate over $3 million in revenue with live launches in the last 3.5 years. She's also worked with over 300 clients to perfect hundreds of unique sales funnels. When she's not working on client projects, she can be found climbing palm trees, looking for the proverbial next patch of shade, and scouting out trendy cafes. So it seems like she's super busy, but of course she finds a lot of time to have fun. And that's our topic for today. So welcome, April. Also, she lives in my town right now, which is Playa del Carmen, Mexico, which is where we met. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. April and I have like bumped into each other a couple of times. We also made plans, and I always remember her as having a lot of really positive energy and zest in life, which is, you know, my jam. But I also know she's a busy gal. And so we're going to talk about that. And today we're going to talk about how to hustle hard, but also enjoy life. Because a lot of you guys, I know you hustle too hard. And a lot of you may feel like hustling hard and enjoying life don't go together. Like you have to maybe put it in your calendar, work here, and then completely detach yourself to have fun. But that doesn't have to be a delicate dance. We can find other ways to go around that. So, but before that, April, I want you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us where you're from, what you do, how you got into this career.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Carla, I think you did a really good job with your intro. So we can just sum it up from there. But My name's April. I've been in the online space for the last 9.5 years, so we're pushing a decade, which is really fun and exciting. I am a launch strategist, and I help my clients scale their 5-day challenges as well as build other sales infrastructure. But yeah, that's in a nutshell what I do. I was born in Canada. I was born and raised in Saskatchewan, but I've been nomading around for the last 13 years, and I've been in Playa for almost 2 years now, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's super awesome because like obviously we found something in this city that makes working, hustling hard and having fun pretty easy. So that is a pitch for tourism right there. What made you choose this city over others, by the way? Like, I'm super curious.
It's actually not the happiest of stories, but we can definitely go there. My dad had passed a couple years ago, and I just got stuck in Canada taking care of some family things and wasn't in the best place. But we have a mutual friend, Bree, who called me and he was like, "Man, you should probably come check out Playa. You would probably like it a lot." And I kind of went back and forth, but ultimately made the decision to come down. And liked it a lot, and just haven't left yet.
Right. I mean, it's kind of the same experience for me. I'm sorry, by the way, for what happened and that started out as a sad story. My story was also sad. I came here with an ex-boyfriend. We had great plans, and then we broke up like within the first 90 days of living together. And
Oh, wow.
yeah, but then he paid for like the rent 90 days in advance too. So honestly, me staying in Playa was just like, let me just chill here for a bit and see where it goes. And then I ended up loving it. So I've already mentioned your hobbies in your intro and what you like as exploring. And I know that you are a hard worker as well, but was there a time when you had zero time for hobbies and fun and you were just like hustling all the time? So tell me about that time. What was that like? What was your health like? The relationships around you?
When I was first starting, yeah, obviously the way that I was living is drastically different than the way that I live now. But I would say even then, there was always time for play. And actually, one of the reasons why I like Playa so much is because it reminds me of Bali in a lot of different ways. And I spent like 3, 3.5 years in Southeast Asia using Bali as my base when I was first starting my business. And so that's why my head goes back there. But even when I was in Bali and I was working like 10, 12, 13-hour days, I was still going out. I was still having friends, or like still having coconuts by the beach with friends. There was just like there's always been a really solid mix of work and play. I think my own internal philosophy, and this isn't going to be uncommon, but it's like we work hard to play hard.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's really unique that you even share that you've always had that mindset. But now I'm more curious. Did you ever have like a regular job, like a 9 to 5?
15 years ago, yeah, absolutely. Or
A
I
different
started
person.
before I started working in the online space, I spent 3.5 years hitchhiking all over North America, and I don't know if we've ever talked about that or not, but before that, I worked like shitty customer service jobs.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. But also, it's like when you say customer service jobs, it also shows that you like meeting people, maybe, like, and you like talking to people and helping people. So that's definitely special. For me, I've never had a real job. The closest I got to a real job was honestly when I was front desk at a Montessori school, and I didn't even last 3 months. And
Yeah.
yeah, that was the only time in my whole life where I would have to sit all day and do a 9 to 5. And I did that for
Wild.
less than 90 days. It was just not my vibe, just not my vibe. And I think you and I have been doing remote work before it was cool, basically. So that's why it's really easy for us to get in that groove of like work hard, play hard. So that's really cool. So when you decide or when you have these like fun activities, do you think that they help you become or make better decisions in business? Do you ever find like business breakthroughs while you're doing these fun things? And maybe you can share a few.
Okay, that's a fun question. Have I ever had a business breakthrough while doing fun things? I mean, yeah, absolutely. I remember part of my weekly routine when I was in Southeast Asia is like anytime I wanted to make content, I would go to the beach. And I would like sit on the beach or walk up and down the beach or pay attention, like people watch on the beach. And I would brainstorm and send these voice notes to myself with all of these different content ideas. And like that, I don't know if I've ever made better content than when that was my process.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I can totally relate. I also have like a running notes app of like email ideas and headlines. And there's like 50 plus things in there now, but I always get these ideas when I'm going for a walk, going to the beach, just like when your mind is just open, right?
Yeah,
So,
100%.
yeah, I love that. That always works because you're not pressured. You're as a human being, basically, you're immersed in the human experience. And I think that's where creativity comes from. And you and I are in marketing where creativity is really, really needed. So what, let's talk about like your mental health. I'm sure that your mental health is okay. This is not an official diagnosis. You could, your exes might disagree. Just kidding. Oh, that wicked laugh. But are there any particular activities that you mindfully do to also take care of your mental health as you are the best and most precious asset in your business?
Oh, dude, I do so much to take care of, like, not only myself, but my mental health. I mean, I go runs a handful of times a week. I make sure that I am stretching on a regular basis. And I get that those are physical things, but it also gives me time and space to step away from work and just take care of myself. And so I count those as like mental health breaks. I don't know whether everybody would count them as mental health breaks, but I 100% do. Like going to the spa or doing hydrotherapy are like definitely again, physical things, but because they allow me to step outside of work stuff, like it gives me some breathing room and allows me some space. So yeah, I mean, I would count those as like what I do.
Right, exactly. For me, I also love the spa, but for me, my one non-negotiable really every day is just getting my 8 hours of sleep. And when I have that, just like straight sleep, and I have my like nighttime routine, I have the red light, the eye shade, all the things, and and like my 16-step beauty routine. Like when I wind down, I have these dreams. I wake up, I sleep straight. It's super. I just like start the day great, and I don't even drink coffee, so it really powers me through the day, and I love that. So, any tools that you can recommend for planning life around hustling hard and still having fun. Someone might, I know you have long days. Obviously, as entrepreneurs, we always have 60-hour weeks and 14-hour days, but also we have like sometimes just an empty day where we can go to the movies at 2 p.m. and do groceries at 10 or something on a Tuesday. So, any tools that you can share that help you kind of organize your life when you're super busy and not forgetting to still have fun?
Yeah, I use a lot of project management software. I am pretty heavily reliant on my calendar and not necessarily for like scheduling in personal activities, but just being able to work my life around my work obligations. But say between project management software and for myself to keep myself organized, I like Trello. When it comes to client projects, it's generally either Asana or Monday, depending on the client's comfort level. But those are like my two primary tools that I use. And then I keep a running chat with myself in my WhatsApp so that I can take notes and just make sure that I am not forgetting things as I am going throughout my day and needing to refer back to them. But I would say between like those handful of tools, those are like my primary ones.
Yeah, I love that. I also have a, I actually am super old school. My real list is a paper because for me, it just helps me like focus on one thing and like this paper. Like if I have to go to my phone to or my computer to find a list, like I might get distracted. So I just kind of like play defense, but I also really love writing on paper and the dopamine hit of just that doing that check. When well, on
For
my to-do
sure.
list, yeah, it's like super Virgo of me. But I also have Trello, the Trello app on my phone just in case. And if I am traveling and say I have to do some work at an airport lounge, I just go on my phone and I have the checklist. And then another thing that I also personally do is just proper like separation. I have two phones. One phone is my bank phone. All of my bank transactions are there, and this phone stays at home in a hidden place. And so if I do lose my phone, which has my socials and stuff, then that's fine, right? So it's like kind of safety thing for me. But between these two phones, just like you, I have a running WhatsApp chat between the two Carla WhatsApps. And just
Oh,
talking to ourselves. And so I totally vibe with that, and I totally agree. And it's funny because I even put my investment stuff there. Like I would take screenshots of like how my stocks are doing, so that I know how much the growth was. So I hope that some of you guys learn a little bit from these tactics. So my next question is, how do you not overdo your fun and not lose sight of your goals? Like being in Playa del Carmen, there's so many fun things. There's so many. And it's so easy to just be roped into that party lifestyle, or not even the party, like even the meditation, like or the self-care stuff, you can sometimes maybe overdo it. Yeah. So how do you not lose sight of your goals?
Mine, that's actually one of the reasons why I like Playa so much, because there is always something going on. You never have to look very hard, regardless of like what day you want to go out and do something, which I count as such a blessing. I don't really struggle with the overdoing fun and losing sight of my goals. And I think that's
That's good.
probably because I have been doing this for so long. Like if I went off the rails and just like focused on fun stuff for X period of time, like I wouldn't be where I am today. And I think like I will for sure allow myself like times throughout the day or times throughout the week to like go off and play or go for a walk or go grab a movie or like go grab a drink, whatever needs to happen. But I always know what I am doing. Like there how do I even describe that? It's like holding myself accountable. I recognize that if I am going off and I am doing this, this is a decision that I am making, so I am going to enjoy it and have fun in it, and that it comes also with like a decision to not do other things. And so when am I going to get those?
So it's like it's also still that principle of like a proper separation, right? It's like when I'm having fun, I'm having fun. But I know when the time is up and I'm gonna turn to a pumpkin. I totally agree with you, and I think that is like the principle of like discipline builds freedom, right? It's like I don't think I can fully let go. I've had days where I just partied and I had lots of fun and I didn't even touch my laptop or whatever. And like one highlight that I had was last year during my wedding. It was a destination wedding, and so I had guests coming from as far as Australia, and my bachelorette in Tulum, and my girls and I were just having fun every day. There was always a new thing that we were doing, and I didn't even do any work thing. In fact, my operations manager kicked me out of my own company. Yeah, she disabled my Slack and my work email. So Top tip, guys, if you want to hire an operations manager that will kick you out to so that you can have fun, talk to us. If that's a BDSM that you need in your life. And it just allowed me to just let go, right? And so, and like what you said, if you're also at your work and you're fully focused, developing that focus and kind of that back and forth is a skill. But I think you and I would also like to say as a disclaimer, I think you and I probably are on the luckier side because we've been doing this for a long time. And my read, honestly, is this is just your personality as well. Have you encountered or given advice to people who may, I don't know, maybe like share that they have ADHD or any other like problems with focus?
Dude, I have girlfriends who consistently like get not necessarily tease me, but just like it's a consistent and running joke being like, if you have ADHD, like who are you kidding? Like, don't get yourself tested. And so I don't actually, I don't know whether I'm on the spectrum or not. It's just something that if I am, I have adapted to. But it's like here, focus, yeah. Like focus hours, I think are really valuable and really important. So I recognize that if I am feeling overwhelmed with the amount of things on my to-do list, like I will turn off my, not even turn off my phone, but I will hit my phone on do not disturb. I will like leave it away from me. Mm-hmm. I will like get what I need to make wherever I am working super comfortable so that I don't have to get up. And right. I will just like turn all notifications off and get through what I need to get through. There are like times where if the task I am working on or the series of tasks I am working on are like really heady or just like lengthy in some capacity, mm-hmm. where I allow myself to get up and move around and like come back to it.
Right.
But I also have like support, right? Like I have people who do food for me. We obviously have like Rappi and Playa where we can get things ordered or delivered to us.
Mm-hmm.
I've got someone who comes in and just like cleans my apartment for me. And so there are things that I do in my life in general to help streamline it so that I have the available bandwidth for the work that's in front of me.
I love that. I love that. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of just like, first and foremost, outsourcing the parts of your life that just are in the way, you know, just in the way. So recently we have had like a cook or, you know, a chef, whatever you call it. I've had her for a very long time, like I think since three years ago. But she's also not just cooked, she would also even do the shopping for our food. And I just like gave her a list, and it's such a huge like weight off my shoulders. And like you said, if you try to look at the parts of your day and see what can I outsource or what are the things that I don't have to do, and then step two would be protecting yourself, like you said, like turn off my notifications, even maybe put my phone in a drawer on the other room, in the other room. That's such a huge step, because you are over and over again, you are mindfully choosing what you have to do and being responsible. And I think that those little shifts in your brain are always kind of motivating and incentivizing the next step. And then it becomes like easy. It becomes like more seamless. I do think that cooking and cleaning are the top two things that you should outsource in your household. Okay. First and foremost.
Laundry.
I don't think it takes up too much time. Does it take up a lot of time for you?
Yeah, I mean, when I would do it, absolutely. And it's not even necessarily the amount of time that it takes, but it's the context switching that is also involved in it. Mm. If I need to like go organize clothes or grab clothes or put clothes in a dryer or check on clothes or whatever it needs to look like I am context switching from the task that I am currently doing, which means regardless of what I am doing from a work perspective, it's going to take longer.
Right. No, I totally get that. I remember that when I was struggling with just plates, you know, not washing the plates. If you think about it, in the past, I would just let them rot for a few days. And and I actually have some friends that share with me, super funny, that they always have paper plates in their house because there are just days when they're just not feeling it. So, And so, but if you think about it, one time I literally put a stopwatch. I'm like, let me just wash these plates. And it actually takes me less than 5 minutes. What's that? Like, it's literally a song. Like, but what is stopping me? And you're right, it's the context switching and also the feeling of, oh, I have to do this, right? Which is a negative feeling, and then it's not a motivating, now it's cortisol. It's not motivating.
You're not
And
motivated. It's just that's wild. What?
I know. What I've done is that we have like a hamper that will just is already like divided, like whites and coloreds. So obviously all of my ex-boyfriends go into the whites. I'm just kidding. And then when my cleaner comes, she just like does the laundry and takes care of it. So how much planning goes into balancing your busy days and fun? What does your calendar usually look like during high launch days, or when it's like your Super Bowl for your clients, where you're doing these six-figure launches?
During high, like here, when it's go time, when it's go time, or
Yeah,
yeah.
when it's super busy, like this week we're launching, we're doing 500K this week. What does your calendar look like?
In those moments, like depending on how many projects I have on the go, and I tend to stagger my launches, so I never have more than like one that is live at a time. Obviously, development can happen, like here, multiple development projects can happen at once, but I always try to organize my schedule so that I never have more than one event going live at a time, especially for like cart open close launches. Evergreen infrastructure is a little bit different, but I am thinking specifically about like static dates. Everybody knows is one, and then two, all of my people know that they are not going to see me that week. Like, this is what I am doing this week, and I just make sure that my focus is on where it needs to be, because there is a lot that happens both on the front end and behind the scenes of these big events. And so, like, they get my focus 100% of the time.
Okay, yeah, that's and then you still what are the fun things that you still kind of insert in your day, or maybe your daily non-negotiable, so that you don't like go too crazy or become too stressed?
Yeah, I would say it's the self-care stuff that I do on a regular basis, and so making sure that I am taking care of myself. And obviously, I have like skin routines. I have really funny things that I do to take care of my hair. But in like really heavy periods, I always make sure that I have time away to like go for a jog, or making sure that I'm getting my 10,000 steps in, that I'm still stretching. So in like those really intense periods, my life is obviously reduced, but everybody gets it. I jump back online when I am able. But my focus then is like taking care of myself and making sure that the event goes well.
I love that. I love that because it's also there's an underlying kind of agreement, right, in yourself that for me to be able to even do this launch right or do this heavy week, I need to be in a tip-top shape too, mentally. You have to be mentally sharp also. Like it's like the Super Bowl, right? Like it's game time. And I love that principle. I love that you have these like little non-negotiables in your day, like your 10,000 steps and some things for your mental health. For me, it's meditation. First thing in the day, I used to have this bad habit of looking at my phone, and during the pandemic, that just like would lead me to a very bad, like slippery slope, and then it would trigger me so much, just anything, right? And so what I did is just like first thing, I'm gonna meditate, and then I'm gonna wait a while before I do anything on social media. And for me, that is my non-negotiable. So even if it's a super busy day, for me, it's impossible to not even find 10 minutes in the morning to meditate. So I love that you share that, because some people, when they're doing big launches, when they are doing a very, very busy week, it's mentally stressful. There's a lot riding on their shoulders, and
Yeah,
they
for
feel
sure.
that they have to sacrifice their health. And they feel like that is part of the payment for them achieving what they needed to do, right?
Yeah,
So
for sure.
I love what you shared. So let's say you are having a very good month. launch was awesome. Your client wants to marry you. She loves you so much. How do you treat yourself after a very good month or a very good week? And if you have anything kind of a little out there or crazy that you did, if you're open to sharing that with us, we would love to hear that story as well.
Yeah, by all means. Okay, so good months are obviously the best month, and bad months do not happen very often. In the launch projects that we do, like, we are intentionally very thorough to make sure that we have all of our T's crossed and our, yeah, T's crossed, I's dotted, all of those good things. And so I would say after a really nice event, it is generally cause for a massage or cause for a spa day. Maybe we go get my nails done or get like my lashes done, my eyebrows done, whatever that needs to look like. And then obviously with bigger events comes bigger paydays. And so making sure that we are focused on like what goals are, like what am I working on from a financial perspective? And making sure that we are putting money where it needs to be. And depending on what's going on, do I have some downtime after? I really do like psychedelics, and so I might take like again to just do an LSD trip or a mushroom trip and let that be a reset.
I love
that. There's a lot of like dependence around like what's going or what else is going on in life, but I would say those are normal go-tos.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's like trip, going on a trip. So it can mean different things for different people. Because for me, when I say going on a trip, I'm flying somewhere. So I love the things that you shared, and I love how it's so organized. Like, oh, if it's like a small launch, and I'm gonna get my nails done. I'm gonna so guys, April is a bomb, and it when she has bigger launches, the prettier and the hotter she'll get. So oh my gosh, watch out for this girl. If you find her on Tinder, watch out. So this girl is rich and hot, and so you guys better get your shit together when you approach her. don't embarrass yourself. I love that. I love that. For me, it's kind of the same actually. Or I would do something creative, or I would sign up for something that is purely for like my pleasure. I love writing poetry, and one of the things I've done in the past after a very good, like when I had my first six-figure month in my business, I think in 2021, I signed up for a poetry class of this guy who's like, it's Phil Kay. He's a very famous like spoken word artist. And it was like such a treat for me. I went through 3 months and I think I wrote four pieces. And I used to write a lot of poetry and even perform. But obviously, like ever since I started getting serious in business, I feel like my creativity has waned. And there was a pandemic. And so I didn't do a lot of things for a few years, but I wanted to really get back to it. So I just treated myself, and I still remember how happy I was that I chose that treat. And yeah, I go on trips too. And like the little things, I would like buy a poetry book or go to a really nice restaurant, sometimes even by myself. Like when I was single, by myself, but right now, obviously with my husband. So our source of happiness is not crazy, guys. It's just, we're just normal people over here. We do six-figure launches, but we're just normal people. So let's talk about the other side of the coin. I'm sure that no business is perfect. Obviously, even Amazon, the biggest business in the world, will have unhappy customers or not very good months. So during your bad month, or if you have bad months, what do you do to get back on track?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say that like air quotes bad months isn't something that I've had to deal with for a while, thankfully so, gratefully so. But obviously they do happen. And so in those moments, it is my philosophy around them is just like control what I can control. And so, like, what am I doing or not doing that I was doing previously? Like, what in my own behavior has shifted that has influenced the result that I am dealing with? But then also within that, making sure that I am controlling like my adrenaline and my cortisol by taking care of myself and making sure that I am showing up in the best way that I can. And so, really, like, fundamentally, it's controlling what I can control.
Right. I love that. Yeah, controlling what you can control. I love that. That's so mindful. That's so mindful because that mindset is can be anything. You can apply that to when a tornado is coming to your city, or you just go through a breakup, or your launch failed, or this funnel didn't work, you had a tech issue, or in my business, maybe like one of our clients is unhappy and they want a refund, but they just like misread this thing. So it can, I love that mindset because you can apply that to anything. But during these times, do you still like do something fun? Do you still kind of, do you use like the experience of having fun or doing fun things as a way to recharge? Or do you just kind of like keep to yourself and reflect?
Man, no, I would say like, it obviously depends on the situation, right? So in like air quotes, hard months, say after my dad had passed, like I wasn't super social. And so in those moments, yeah, I was super reclusive and just like letting myself feel the feelings that were coming up. But in like business specific hard months, in those moments, like I want to connect with people. I want to hear other people's perspectives. How did they deal with situations that were maybe similar? Have they been in something similar before? And so it's been like, I wouldn't ever suggest isolating myself. Like, that's not my go-to. And so, do I still do fun things? Yes, I would say absolutely. And based off of the situation, like the fun, air quotes, fun thing can shift and be adjusted to match whatever is going on.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, there I think I realized actually that there are two kinds of people. There are people that when they're down, they want to keep to themselves, and then they are also people who want to be more social and reach out for support. I actually realized this when one of my girlfriends had a big breakup a few months ago, and she was like, she reached out. We have this like girls group chat, and she put on the group chat, "Hey guys, like I'm really down about this breakup, and I would really love your support. If you want to take me out on anything, any workout, I'm open, a walk on the beach. I would love to be supported." And I actually appreciated that. I'm like, wow, she's really being vulnerable. And I mean, that's what friends are for, right? She's not even asking for much. And so I went over to her house and brought her banana bread, and we sipped matcha, and we just like hung out for a bit. And I didn't even like prompt to talk about the breakup. We just kind of chatted, and I let her see where the conversation would go. I just gave her my time, and I realized I had never had like someone verbalize it like that. And I'm like, that's really healthy. That's really, really healthy. And I love that you do that too. I love that you do that too. I think community is so powerful. And this is why one of the things that I also tell business owners is join a mastermind, join a group of like-minded business owners that are into growth that will also be vulnerable with you and help you throughout bad times. And another reason why I love Playa too, there's so many multifaceted entrepreneurs here.
Yeah, for sure. No,
Yeah.
it's so good. It's so good. And it's so sweet that like, not only that your friend reached out, but also that you were able and willing to support her. Like, that's so lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I that it was like a gift for me too. It was a gift for me too because I also realized that, you know what, I can do that too. Like in the future, if I need support, I can just call my friends. Like, to be honest, I've never done that before. I am the eldest child of an Asian family, and I have to be strong and independent. And right now, I have my husband. I tell him everything. I rant. It's such a safe space, but sometimes I am still a little embarrassed to be vulnerable to my friends. And I just talked to my husband the other day, and I also just realized that I have never even been vulnerable with even my own sisters because I'm their eldest sister, and I'm their rock, and I have never really, I realized that I have never talked to my sisters about my breakups or when I'm down in business or whatever. I just have never in my whole life. And I'm still working on it.
Yeah, of
Like,
course.
yeah, it's hard for me to be vulnerable.
I don't think that you're alone in that in any capacity. I think everybody has areas where they are more comfortable being vulnerable than others. But I think the fact that you were able to take your girlfriend's desire for help as just like a gift is what it was. Like what she was doing is allowing the people in her life an opportunity to enrich her life. And if someone does or not is okay because we are all obviously capable of taking care of ourselves. But it is just that it's an opportunity that you rob someone when you don't let the world know what you need.
You're absolutely right. That's a good perspective. Like even when I say it was such a gift for me to also be a blessing to her, you know, for lack of a better term, I guess. You're right. You're right. I've never thought of it that way. If I am not letting people get that gift too, right? The gift of charity, maybe. Then I am robbing them. So that's definitely a prompt for me to be more vulnerable, but it's just so hard with my upbringing, you know. So still working on it, still working on it. Booking my booking a session with my therapist right now. Her name is April. All right. Before we get to the end of this podcast, I want to distill this whole episode to maybe your top three tips on how to balance fun and hustle in business, especially during your high pressure weeks.
Oh, okay, that's a really sexy question, man. One, I would say be clear in the decisions that you're making. It's like everything comes with an opportunity cost. And so be clear in the decision that you're making and make that decision. Once you have made it, go with it. You're always allowed to change your mind. And so just.
Yeah, I mean, it's so multifaceted anyway, right? It's like, and I love that it's all about the decision, right? So this a decision, guys, is the power is coming from you. It's like losing weight. When you decide to lose weight, no one can take that decision away from you. It will just happen. And that's super powerful because in that you can decide how your days go, you can decide how you eat, you can decide how to exercise, and you can always optimize. So be clear in the decision making, in your decision making. And then also your other tip is remember that you're allowed to change your mind. And if you guys have gleaned from everything that we've shared, it's also like you can just be chill. You can allow yourself to also be chill, even if you're physically busy or your calendar is busy, it doesn't mean that you have to go crazy. And for me, of course, my own advice that I can add to that is remember when to get support, and also that realizing that you deserve support. You deserve to be supported, especially if you are a business owner who is genuinely helping other people. You deserve other people to also give to you and pour to you, whether that means letting other people clean your house or do some chores for you, or reaching out to your friends and letting them be a blessing to you for that day, hang out with you, or outsourcing certain things in your business to people who are obsessed with operations, or people who are obsessed with client success. And you don't have to do it yourself. You can just be the visionary that you want to be. And that is completely possible. I've done it. All of my clients do it. So you deserve that kind of help. So April, what's next? What are you looking forward to right now? And how can people follow your life, follow your magic? And if they want a high success launch, where can they find you?
Yeah, I would say if anyone wanted to scope me out, Instagram is a good spot for it. Growth by Funnels is my handle. I have got a little bit of infrastructure that I've been working on myself that goes live in the next couple weeks, and so that's obviously super, super exciting. I have got some really big or client projects on the go. We've got a launch that is in development right now that is slated to go live early in the new year, so that's exciting. And then we've got another client project that is on the go where We're really just like ramping up. It's not a specific launch, which is exciting in its own way. We are just looking at increasing monthly revenues, and we've already done a really amazing job in the last 90 days. And so all of it is really, really exciting.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So that, wow. For 2025, you're already looking there. I'm super excited for you, super excited for all the business owners that you're going to help. So follow her, guys. I'm also going to link her socials, and we actually have a free gift for everyone here who's curious. We're also going to link that here on the show notes. Tell us a little bit about what you have for our listeners, April.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's super exciting. I really love it. It's been something that took a handful of years to actually put together and be able to take out to market. But so I have a guide in terms of, well, let me just, I have a guide that will help you build your business from wherever it is to being able to hit and sustain both six and multi-six figure launches. So it just lays out the broad-based framework to build your business from, say, 5K months to being able to get to a place to do 100K launches. So whether you're at 5K months or 15K months or 30K months, it lays the pathway out to hit and sustain these high cash events.
And who is this for? Who are the people who will benefit most from this playbook?
It has largely been designed and tested on info products, and so it's more so geared towards coaches, consultants, course creators, and that general crowd.
I love that. So if you are a coach or a consultant or a course creator, definitely click the link in the show notes to find her Badass Launch Scaling Playbook. These are the strategies that has worked for many, many years, have been tested in this industry. And if you want to be able, if you can even learn a thing or two to improve your funnels right now, or if you need some of April's time and smarts on this project, you can find her. I'm also going to link her socials so you can just connect with her. Thank you so much, April, for your time. I'm super happy. This was such an awesome episode. And thank you for sharing all of your stories and your tips.
Yeah, Carla, it was such a pleasure. It was really great to hang out with you. Thank you so much for letting me hang out, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
I know, likewise. I even feel lame that we're doing this on Zoom, but I'll see I'll see you soon. I'll knock on your door with some banana bread and
Perfect. I'll make us match up.
it's her love language, guys. All right. So thank you guys for listening. Follow me on Instagram, Carla Stefan. And if you like this episode, we would love if you can give it as high as a 5-star review. It will really help get this episode out there. And if you have a friend who you feel is burnt out, need a little bit of fun in their lives, definitely share this episode and you can be a blessing to them too. So thank you so much. And I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Oh, sorry, next Monday for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.